Life can grab a hold of you like captivating strings of color. It is a lesson that four women will learn as they each travel down a journey filled with lies, betrayal, and shocking secrets. Two-time number one Amazon best-selling author Marion L. Thomas brings you her riveting new book, Strings of Color. Critics call Strings of Color real and emotionally charged drama. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or order from bookstores nationwide.
Listening to Authors First on the Artist First World Radio Network, artistfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone, worldwide. This hour, through the wonders of technology, we've actually made connection with our guest this hour, Travis Rogers, joining Artist First for the first time, and we're very excited to have our guest. To learn more about his book, you can visit our website where we'll have the link available. And don't forget, all of the broadcasts are MP3 formatted. So get out there on your social network sites and let everyone know that Travis Rogers has been on the Artist First Radio Network with Tony Kay. So, wow, so much to talk about, so little time. Let's get to our guest. How you doing, Travis?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Welcome aboard. Welcome to the network. You've been a busy guy.
Yeah.
Busy.
A little bit, yeah.
Becoming an author, it can sort of be overwhelming, and you wonder where the paycheck is at the end of the day.
Yeah, it does leave you wondering, especially between sales fluctuating. You begin to wonder.
Yeah, it's a challenge for all authors, waiting in the deep end. Waiting in the deep end, alluding to swimming in the deep end?
More alluding to a lot of people that claim to be Christians don't really care too much about sound doctrine or what Scripture has to say. So it's more a challenge for people to get out of the kiddie pool of theology and move out into the deeper stuff.
Wow. May I ask your age?
My age is 29.
29. So very much, this is a passion for you.
Oh, absolutely.
So important as an author. Find the thing that really lights your fire, makes you excited. Really, it's not so much drudgery when you write that way.
No. It's kind of rewarding. You go through it. You learn in the process. You grow. But at the same time, in the end, you have the fruits of your labor and a product you can enjoy.
Now, somewhat of a bias, though, here, because you're telling us right up front that you are devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Well, God bless you, brother.
Thank you. God bless you.
We run our network this way. We have, in our personal lives, we believe in Jesus and the principles of the Bible, and we're all very open here at Artist First. If you've listened to any of my broadcasts, you'll know that.
I listened to your broadcast with Matt Wells with his Fix Me, Love Them.
Well, was that? No, that was Richie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That wasn't you. It was, I mean, a broadcast on your station.
That was my son.
Oh, it was your son that did that one?
Yeah, yeah. Richie has a degree in audio engineering from Ohio University in Athens, Ohio.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I appreciated that one because it was along the same line, same topic, talking about God, the Bible, and the love of Christ. So I really enjoyed listening to that one.
It is, and the great thing about the shows, they're totally yours, so feel free. You'll be able to put the broadcast, make it available 24/7 on all kinds of websites. Now, since I'm not at the liberty of having all the paperwork in front of me, please, Travis, tell us the website for your material so that our audience can go there and look at your website while they listen.
Okay, well, there's not actually a full website for it, but I do have a Facebook group. You can just facebook.com/waiting in the deep end. And then, you know, there's always Amazon where it can be found as well, just typing in the title.
Great. So you could go up to your server up there, Google, and search it right now and locate it. That's a great idea. Now, will you have a website?
No, I haven't. I mean,
are you going to do that? Are you going to go? I just had a gentleman on, did a great job on blogspot.com.
I tried to set something up with that. My problem is the dedication to keep it up. With everybody and their mother on Facebook these days, keeping up a website with minimal hits on it is kind of tedious, and it always falls to the wayside.
Oh, okay. I know. I've had, of course, thousands of guests, and when blogging first began, I was there in its infancy, and that was the big, big problem for all authors. Gee, if I'm going to write this much material, I might as well write a book. You know, I mean, how much can I keep up with here? But Facebook, it seems to be a lot more user-friendly in getting some content out and networking with other people. It's very popular, obviously.
Yeah, and that's where most of the audience has been at. Most of the people I know are on there, people that I don't know. I'm daily getting new friend requests from people that I've never heard of that, you know, are just wanting to be friends with the book or be linked in with the book. So I've definitely found that's been the best area to reach out to people.
Well, Travis, hey brother, give me your testimony, please. Tell me, when did it all start for you? Did you grow up in the church? Your family very religious? Did it come to you later in life, or both, or a combination of something?
It was a little bit of both, and a little bit of nothing, and a little bit of everything. It was, I started off kind of not going to church. Religion, God, faith wasn't really an issue. It wasn't even anything that was in my life at all. I was just a, you know, young kid, elementary schooler, doing my thing. The circumstances in which I was growing up weren't exactly the best. I had a lot of issues, almost wound up in separate foster homes with me and my sister. There was a lot of problems going on with my mother. You know, thankfully, she's turned herself around now after all these years. But as it stands, that was the beginning, and I wound up going to live with my dad. When I lived with him, my grandma is really the one that introduced, you know, God to me and into my life. I started going to church with her, and it was wonderful. But even then, I didn't really know a whole lot what I was getting into. I sang the song.
Travis, I love your grandma. I love her. Oh, I love her. And, you know, now that my lovely wife and I are grandparents, it's the same way. You're right. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, the stories, the reading. You know, why didn't we have the grandchildren first?
There we go.
I don't know. But really, it's just wonderful, lovely to be a grandparent, and you were fortunate to have a grandparent that loved the Lord and really was willing to share her faith in the way that she lived, and that had a powerful influence on you.
Oh, most definitely. She is really the one that kick-started everything off. You know, so if I had to even point origins to anywhere, you know, here on this earth that influenced me the most there to begin with, it would be her, hands down.
Yeah, and so it is the guidance there, and then of course we have to have that internal mechanism, that desire to say, not my will but thine be done, and the way of the cross. Following Christ, that's the big one. That's the commitment that really energizes a spirit and moves you in a direction you never would have imagined before.
And that's definitely something that comes through growth and that process of sanctification.
So getting into that environment, then you were learning some things that were answering questions and helping you piece your life together.
I was. I learned who Christ was, who God was as a whole, you know, I what the Bible even had to say. I mean, there's so much in there, and I'd never even picked it up prior to that. It was unfortunate, though, that lasted up until I was about 18, joined the Navy, and lived the life of a sailor for a little while, and all of a sudden forgot that God even existed. But that was short-lived, and God brought me back through the help of some good friends, got me brought back into church. And at that moment right there, after hitting an all-time low, almost died on one occasion, got into a lot of trouble another occasion in a foreign country. And, you know, God let me hit that rock bottom, brought me back. And he's been pulling me up and lifting me up and teaching me ever since.
Wow. You know, it's amazing to me how often I hear that story, even among those who grow up in the church, so to speak, that really it wasn't until they stepped away from a life of faith and were really involved in the world that they came to appreciate what Christ and his church had to offer.
Yep, and even then, I realized, you know, it wasn't at the time, but realized later on, the only reason I even came to that appreciation wasn't even necessarily where I was at, because at the time, to be honest, I was loving it. I couldn't remember what happened the night before, but for some reason, it was amazing. You know, it wasn't me that wanted to come back to God. It was God that grabbed a hold of me and said, this is my timing, it is my will, you are coming to me, open your eyes. And it wasn't until that time that everything clicked, and everything I had learned and grown up with just all of a sudden came flooding back. And it wasn't just casual knowledge, you know, on an elementary level. It was just absolute passion all of a sudden. It was something that it was part of my life and who I was and who I wanted to be and what I wanted to strive to be more of.
And how has God blessed your life since that conversion, that coming back home to him? How has your life moved in a positive direction?
More ways than I can count, but to give a few examples, I mean, I've got a wonderful wife, I've got three children, I've found really my calling in life, and calling of what God wants me to do. I've learned and grown, I've had the opportunity to share and teach others scripture, and to write this book right here in hopes that people that I can't reach face-to-face, maybe I can reach through paper. He's blessed in more ways than I could even begin to explain.
Well, I'm so proud to hear you say God and family, of course, next right there. And with you, your wife shares your passion. Your children are inspired because they see you as a strong spiritual leader, loving the Lord and wanting to do what's righteous.
Yeah, me and my wife, we definitely make a great team. She supports me in a lot of things, and she's been there for me whenever I've needed her the most. And I realized she was no accident either. I mean, that was something that God put us together. How else do you find two people from 2 hours away from each other in Florida meeting in Japan at the same church?
Well, as we've said, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And he certainly has in your life and your wife and your three lovely children. Coming to faith in Christ and grasping that's just the beginning of the journey. Along the way, there are certain issues theologically, socially, spiritually that we have to grapple with and come to terms with. And that brings us to your desire to study more deeply and to create this book.
Yes, this is something that it really, to be honest, started from lessons. I call them sermons when I'm underway on my ship, you know, with the Navy, but they're less preaching sermons and more just teaching lessons. They're things I definitely put hours and hours into, and on Sundays we don't have a chaplain, so I lead the services. I lead the worship music, the worship service in the form of teaching others, and they really started through that. I decided I wanted to get some of that together and maybe just put it, not necessarily in a book format, but combine it all into something. And out of nowhere, I just found myself writing more and more and more. And before you know it, I had my book. It was a 3-year project before you know it, but before you know it.
Yeah, only 3 years.
Only 3 years.
Well, you know, I served active duty for 3 years in the United States Army and another 3 years in the reserves, but it goes, when the older you get, the shorter that period of time becomes.
It does. I mean, 3 years was a long time, wondering, will it ever get done?
Right.
Looking at it now, it's
36 months.
3 years, that one was nothing.
Gee, divided up. I had to work on it 36 months.
Call it work? I enjoyed every minute of
it. Well, there you go. But the project, it is requires discipline, mental discipline, sacrifice away from the ones you love to do this. And then the learning curve, just all new, not just, well, I'm writing now, editorializing, now organizing, now getting published, marketing, getting my message out. It's all new for the first time.
That has most definitely a challenge. I had, you know, a friend who had done it prior, so thankfully I was able to lean on him and his support. That made things infinitely easier. But no, that the publishing aspect, the cover design, the proofreading. Oh my goodness, the proofreading. But yeah, that idea was definitely a chore.
Amazon.com, the website, or go up and Google everyone. Because Travis Rogers, our guest, does not have a website just yet, but the book, Wading, W-A-D-I-N-G, In the Deep End, you could do that, or Travis Rogers, and it is Amazon, correct?
Correct, yes. The book is found on Amazon in both a paperback format as well as a Kindle version. Kindle version for the month of February is only 99 cents as well.
A buck. You got to buy it for a buck. Absolutely. Now, the theme of the book, theologically, tell us about it.
Really, it stemmed from, like, as I said, the sermons or lessons that I would give underway, but the whole, I found myself putting it in the form of a book because so many people would ask me questions, and sometimes they've been given an answer, sometimes they hadn't, sometimes people had no idea. But as I was going through them, teaching them more and more, I found more and more people coming to me and asking me questions, which then led to other sermon ideas and topics. But I realized that people don't always get the correct answers. Again, you know, the Jesus loves me, this I know, and then it just kind of ends there and you don't know much else. So I wanted to make sure, you know, as I feel my spiritual gift is teaching, that I could teach as many people sound and accurate doctrine. You know, people say that doctrine only divides, that it doesn't really matter as long as you love. But no, we're called to be conformed to the mind of Christ. And how can we have the mind of Christ if we don't understand what it is that he's given us and told us? So that was the driving force behind me wanting to put together something where people could get a solid scriptural answer, where even if they didn't agree with the answer being given, they would at least be hard-pressed to, you know, come up with something. They'd be forced to go out and dig in the scriptures themselves, be as the Bereans, to test all things, and try to figure out what it is that they believe and why they believe it. The why is the big part.
It really is, and it's so fundamental. I believe often we get lost in the forest of thinking that individuals really want all of this information. They just want, what's the root of the matter?
It is, and people can say there's so much out there and nobody's going to agree. People, anyway, let alone within, you know, all the different religions that are on this earth right now, just within Protestantism itself, there's so many different denominations. And while I feel there's a very strong reason for them, and if we all just merged into one, there'd be more problems than good formed. People can see it as a deterrent. They're like, I don't know if I want to get involved in this. You guys can't even agree with yourselves, so how am I going to get in there? Maybe I'll just stay away. But that, again, that's where you really need to read your Bible and know what it says. Either everybody is wrong or, you know, one's right, but not everybody can be right. And you have to really, unfortunately, dig through it all. You have to get through the weeds to find where that real solid plant is at.
Yeah, the doctrines of men, that's the issue at hand versus those of God. You're right, little argument about the Ten Commandments, of what thou shalt and shalt not do. It's pretty well straightforward there, but in living it out day to day, then that's a whole other series of issues, perhaps. And direction is really getting to the very heart of the question you would have if you're seeking an answer from God.
It is. I mean, there's answers, like I said, you know, it's really all over the place, you know, with the chapters. It's not necessarily one centralized theme as much as it is topics, but like you said with the Ten Commandments, being, you know, clear-cut And then along came Jesus and shook things up a little bit. You know, so, you know, I've got two entire chapters dedicated to the Ten Commandments as well as how they apply today and what it is that Jesus came when fulfilling the law but not abolishing the law. It talks, you know, I've got stuff talking about apostles and prophets. I mean, a lot of people disagree there. Do they exist or do they not still exist? You know, everything from there all the way to just the history and what it is that Jesus did between everything from his birth to his death and from his resurrection and our subsequent eternal life. So there's really a lot of topics in there, and those stem from the plethora of topics that came to me and questions that came to me with people just wanting to know the answers.
And beautiful, just absolutely wonderful that you felt equipped to go to the Bible, to look up passages, to think about the question, the way it was being raised by that person and their particular need for information, and all of that dwarfed into these sermons that you were able then to editorialize and combine into a book.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it all played out there. And, you know, the sales, again, have been fluctuating, you know, a little high, a little low. It depends on, you know, I guess what time of the month it is. But knowing that even one has gone out, it's still, that's another blessing to me, knowing that I was able to reach somebody else that I otherwise might not have been able to talk to. And maybe they can be given the hope and at least some sound direction on, you know, where to turn as they're seeking.
Travis Rogers, are you still involved in the military?
Yes, I am. I'm coming up on my 12-year mark now in the Navy.
Congratulations. Thank you for your service to our great country and for your service to the others that are with you that you have opportunity to influence while you're on those long voyages.
Thank you to yours that you gave to the Army.
Well, it changes you when you have that experience, and I always can tell a difference in the demeanor, the discipline, the of those who have served in some branch of the military versus those who haven't. It's just a different level of appreciation.
It really is in a lot of ways. And while we can't discount everybody, there's a lot of people out there that wish they could have served and for some reason or another weren't given the opportunity to. But that being said, you can tell the difference between a military guy versus a non-military guy just by looking at him, listening to the way he talks, seeing how he treats people that are older than him.
You're obviously set your sight on retiring from the Navy.
I just re-enlisted for another 6 years a few weeks ago, so that'll put me at 18. I'm definitely going to the 20.
Yeah, well, you'll have to go over that, right? I mean,
No, it depends on where I go with rank. If I stay as an E6, 20 is the most I can do. If I can happen to pick up chief in the future, you know, then that, we'll see where time takes me.
Your family, they're acclimated to your time out to sea and look forward to your return?
Thankfully I'm here right now, you know, at the house. The underway time is over. Actually getting ready to, I've had 4 years of sea duty here on this command. I'm getting ready to leave and go enjoy 3 years of shore duty coming up. So we're all looking forward to a much needed vacation and break.
Do you and your family, or do you have involvement in a local church where you live?
We do. We go to First Baptist Church of Claremont here in Claremont, California.
How nice. Is that one of those mega churches?
No, I'm actually not a fan of mega churches. I don't see how a pastor can possibly shepherd his flock when he doesn't even know who is a part of his flock. But that's my take on that one. It's a smaller church where the pastor knows everybody, prays for us all by name, you know, every morning when he wakes up. And he was actually a big part of this book coming to be. I gave him credit in my acknowledgments in the beginning of the book. He went through, read every chapter, gave his opinions on things, whether we agreed or not on the topics. He was gracious enough to give some direction on where to go with it and some corrections on some grammar. He was very helpful, more than helpful.
Shout out. What's his name?
Dr. Alan Thompson.
Alan, thank you so much for your guidance and for blessing this young man. God bless you, my brother.
Him and my friend Timothy Hulbert, the two of them, this book would have been a mess in the, you know, once it was published, had it not been for the two of them.
It's absolutely helpful to have someone with a doctor of theology. That's 120 graduate hours, 90 graduate hours for your master's of divinity, and then your PhD on top of that. So if to have someone of that level of study, concentration on theology and biblical studies to look over your work, that's a gift.
It absolutely was. I mean, I know a lot of people aren't privileged enough to have a resource like that available to them, and thankfully I was, and I can only pray someday I can have those credentials to back me after my military service, maybe go to seminary and further my education there.
Well, just use his books. I'm sure he has a wonderful library. It is a joy to find your purpose and say, hey, this is what the Lord has laid out for me right now, that I'm in this circumstance, in the military, I have a career, I have an opportunity of influence that's positive, Christ-centered, and fulfilling a mission for our country, and I'm providing for my lovely wife and children and giving them the role model that they need, that strength and confidence and righteous respect. And so God bless you and your wonderful family for working together diligently on this, and to your wife and children for their involvement. I'm sure they're very proud to know that this is a published work now.
Oh, the time I held my first copy in my hands, I was beaming. She was really happy to help spread the word. And yeah, it's a great feeling knowing that not only do you have that, but you have someone you can share it with.
The ages of your children?
My son is 5 years old. My daughter will be 4 at the end of April. And my youngest just turned a year old this month.
All of this will mean more just in 5 short years.
5 short years.
Yeah. It will all mean so much more. They change so much from 5 to 10, 11, 13, 14, wow.
You don't think they can mean any more at all, and then every year they get older, and this is the best year, and then they grow again. This is the best year. Every year is the best year, right where they're at.
Yeah, it really is, but I mean, in terms of them looking at you and saying, you know, my dad, he really loves the Lord, loves us and my mommy, and he wrote this book. You may be on book 2 or 3.
I am working on book 2, actually. I'm wasting no time. It's a work in progress. I'm about roughly 9 chapters in so far.
So this may be part of, obviously, I believe it is part of, what God has chosen for you.
If not to make a living based on being an author, which I clearly don't see as my absolute calling, definitely in the form of teaching. Again, I'm 100% convinced. I found this out in Japan to be, you know, my gifting is definitely the discernment of spirits and being able to, in the sense of hearing sound doctrine versus false doctrine and just setting off bells and whistles and just knowing, hey, that's not right. You know, between that and teaching others and going out, taking everything I've learned and not just soaking up like a sponge, but spitting it back out the first chance I get, that right there is my definite true calling and true gifting. So in the form of writing, that's just another form of media that I have to reach out to other people.
In the book, are you graphic in the sense of saying, here are people, individuals, circumstances? How do you frame the dogma?
Well, I don't really, as in people with personal circumstances, I don't get too much into that. I try not to have too much of even my own opinion in there, to be honest. I try to stick to mainly scripture. If you look and it just opened up the pages, you'd see, you know, a portion of maybe half a page is my writing and the other half the page are just scripture verses.
That's where I'm driving. Travis, is this something you look at an index and say, oh, here's a topic?
And then, in the table of contents, you'd have that. And a lot of the chapters play off each other, so there's references like in chapter 5, such and such, but or more coming in chapter whatever. So they play off each other, and I tried to organize them in such a manner, yet at the same time, they're somewhat independent. So you could just see in the table of contents hey, I want to read that chapter, and go right to it, and you're not really going to be totally lost. You'll still gain a lot.
When was the book made available as a Tyndale Online?
That, I believe, was roughly around November or December of this past year.
Fabulous. And the response, have you had opportunity for others to review the book?
I had a couple people say they'd be happy to review it. I'm still waiting to see what the review will say. On Amazon, there's only 2 reviews on there from customers. I wish that there were more. I made it available for free, had almost 200 downloads, not a single review coming back my way. I've definitely asked, if somebody does read it, if they do purchase a copy, and whether they liked it or not, whether they agree or not, just put an honest review on there, and that actually speaks volumes, whether it's good or bad. It shows that the book is moving and people are reading, and it's not just being picked up and then sitting in a Kindle somewhere or sitting on a bookshelf somewhere.
Do you think there's a target audience of individuals that would most enjoy this material? For instance, ministers of the gospel, youth ministers that are being asked questions. Where do you think the proper placement for this would be, other than maybe a gift for your pastor or a missionary?
I think anybody who has a strong desire to learn more, as a whole, it would be great. I'd say if I had to say where the book fell under, category, I'd say it'd fall more under Reformed theology. There is this modern-day evangelistic movement which loves God and absolutely brothers and sisters in Christ, but unfortunately have placed more of an emphasis on what we call synergism, or a partnership between God and man, whereas monergism is what the Reformed faith goes by, which is where Protestantism really started with its roots. And that's saying, all glory to God. God, everything is to God. God chose me. God, gave the gift of faith, as, Ephesians 2:8 says. Really, everything begins, is enacted by, is carried out, is perfected, and ends with God. And all glory is to him. And the only reason that I'm here even loving him is because he took my heart of stone and just made me love him through, not in the sense of a robot or a man, a little doll on strings, but through regeneration, taking me, dying to self and rising in Christ and just giving me that new nature. So I'd say, in the sense of some people know the Reformed faith more along the lines of Calvinism. So anybody that would agree with that, I'm sure would love it. And really anybody that didn't agree with it, they would benefit because so many people don't really understand what it teaches, and they could really stand to learn a lot from it just in and of itself.
Travis, it sounds like you've learned a lot.
Oh, I have. I thought I knew a lot to begin with, and I don't mean to sound cocky because there's so much I don't know. Oh, my goodness, there's people way smarter than me out there. But just you think you know something, and then 3 years later, you realize how little you really knew. And then you think you know a lot more. And then you read somebody else's book, and you're like, wow, yeah, I'm still dumb.
Well, that's wisdom. When you're wise enough to understand others know more than you do, and there's just room to learn and grow. And certainly we're talking about our Christian journey, audience. It's very much individual. It's up to you. Open up to the Holy Spirit. Allow God to guide you in your life. Raise the question, why am I here? Why am I here now? What purpose can I serve? And go to the master manual, the good book, the Bible, and start to look for those answers. You'll get the guidance you're looking for. And certainly, if you need a little help, which we all do, and maybe something relevant to where you are today, we would invite you to buy this book. It's a buck. Isn't that right, as a download?
It is. The Kindle version is only
99 cents. Waiting, WADING, in the deep end.
Waiting in the deep end. It'll go back to $2.99 as of March 1st. So I definitely encourage you to take advantage of it now. I say that I make more in my pocket if you wait until March 1st. but take advantage of it, save yourself some money if you really wanted to bless me with the purchase of a copy, and, you know, anytime.
Well, we know that it'll be a blessing to those who read it, so share it. Get out there on your social network sites, everyone. Tell them about Travis Rogers and his book and his ministry, and it'll go the way the Lord expects it to go. I mean, play your part. Do your thing. It's fun. You can have a great time. That's what I think many Christians unfortunately aren't grasping about social networking, the positive influence you can have all the time.
I've made great friends on there through social networking.
Yes. It could be a wonderful opportunity to share. So be sure to share Travis Rogers' book, Waiting in the Deep End. Audience, very kind. Thank you for being with us this hour from all points of the globe, especially our military personnel serving overseas. Thank you so much for your devotion to our country and to the mission of this country. God bless you and your efforts and your wonderful families for making their sacrifice as well. And Travis, you've got a great career. Keep coming. Keep going. And I hope you return to the Artist First Network.
You know, once my next book comes out, who knows when that'll be, but I'd be more than happy to come back.
Thank you for supporting the arts on our network. It means a lot. And we do a lot with a little here, and your contribution is greatly appreciated, okay? So, and others, if you know of others who have material, they're perhaps a Christian artist with a new CD and they want to promote their music, or another Christian author out there who needs to get publicity, please send them our way. We'd be happy to take care of them, okay? Travis, this second book you've started, what direction? Will it be radically different than your first?
Sort of. It's just going to be the same formatting, but it's going to be more focused, I guess you could say. While this one jumps around on various topics, the next one is going to really start off with, and I don't say this again to offend anybody, there's, you know, who may be a Catholic out there, but clearly I'm a Protestant, and the root word of Protestant is protest, which was protesting the Catholic movement of its time in the 1500s. So it's really going to be talking in the beginning a lot of Catholic teaching with Catholic sources being cited and the errors, you know, according to Protestantism that are within that teaching. And then upon shifting there, it's going to shift into a brief history of the Reformation and then moving into what we know as the five points of Calvinism that came out around the 1600s in response to Arminianism. So it'll touch on each of the five points of Calvinism in detail and then go on to what we have today, which are a lot of the false teachings, even within people that claim to be Protestants, you know, and within a lot of the, you know, various what are called churches, or what I disagree with that statement there, you know, and what the errors that exist today, even within Protestantism, are.
That's a big topic.
Yeah, it's going to be more exposing error while still showing the truth, because just exposing error isn't nearly enough. You have to give someone the direction to go in from there.
No, I think you're right. We could just go back to the way they did it in the first century. You couldn't own any property. Most of the parishioners were slaves and had masters. We had to meet on the first day of the week, which is the resurrection, but we did it way early in the morning because we were singing hymns to Christ as God, which means we were against the existing emperor and subject to crucifixion, which they gladly loved to crucify us. So meeting house to house in secret, reading and praying together to Christ and celebrating the Eucharist, which is the remembrance of the body and blood of Christ, and small groups from house to house. They met and with constant threat that their faith would lead to their death. Yes, the church, it's there. It's in the Bible. What I've just said is factually, historically accurate and true. The home where Peter the apostle lived was used when they took the roof off of his house to lower a crippled man into it so Jesus could heal them. How would you feel if they were taking the roof off your house?
Well, that would be
just the way it was in the first century. So a lot has happened since then, and it is the doctrines of men, and it's those things that we've carried with us outside of the scriptures that lead to the divisions in the church.
It is. I'm a fan of the Latin phrase sola scriptura, by scripture alone. There's no authority, you know, given to us outside of what God has revealed to us in the scriptures and the movement of the Spirit within.
Well, it's all there for our spiritual growth and edification, and I'm glad that you're focused on that target, and I'm inspired to know that others will be drawn into this captivating topic and maybe begin to write their own stories and answer their own questions.
You know, and that would be wonderful if somebody, through their journey and growth, had felt that they were confident enough to write something. It takes a brief amount of, you know, actually more than brief, a good amount of confidence to be able to put something down on paper and show the world. So if somebody felt confident enough in that, that they had grown enough to where they can share that with other people, and that came from just reading up front on their own and doing more and more study, that is the ultimate goal that I hope everybody has in mind, that they can grow enough and they don't just stay stagnant in their faith, that they can go out and make disciples of all nations and just tell the world about Christ.
Now, while you're out there floating around on a boat, you have the Bible. You don't have much room for a library. Do you go to the internet? Do you have other resources to research topics? Calvin, when he was born, how he lived, where the church came from, the Protestant movement, all that. Where do you glean your historical documentation?
Well, I find little nooks and crannies and underneath deck plates and anywhere I can to make a little library. And then outside of that, the Kindle is amazing because I can just put so many books on there. And we have an internet connection, but it's kind of slower than molasses dripping in January, so I definitely need to stock up before I go out.
Well, thanks again for your military service and having that time to devote to biblical studies, and keep up the good work. We can't wait for you to come back with your new release, and perhaps you'll have a friend help you develop a website that'll be workable. But in the meantime, audience, you'll have to go to Amazon to learn more and to buy your book, Kindle, 99 cents. Get it now while you can. Thank you very much, Travis Rogers, for being our guest on Authors First. Tony Kay in the studio. Of course, everyone knew that. Anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to before I let you go?
Well, I already thanked, you know, my friend Timothy and my pastor, Alan. I'd like to just thank my friend Matt, my friend Todd. There's just been so many people out there that have been so much support. They've helped spread the word. They've shared it at every turn. They've purchased a copy to help support me in that aspect. And I'm hoping they're listening now. I know a few people were calling me. They're like, hey, call the studio. The number isn't working for you. So I know there's at least a few people out there listening right now that are some good friends of mine. So thank you for your support.